Great to see you here this Wednesday evening. We're going to continue talking about the heart of just loving God and how that functions. We're going to get a little bit more practical today and break it down to the effect of how what can get in the way of you just loving God with your heart. And take some time and personalize the message for yourself. And take a moment to figure out how that affects you. It's been very effective for me as I went through it. And I want to talk about what gets in the way of us loving God with all our hearts. You don't plan to, but it happens. And you have to begin to address that over time. Otherwise, it can get in your way and permanently hold you back from just loving God with your heart. So, the first issue, we're going to spend our whole time in Galatians 5. So we'll talk through that today, and I want to spend my time here. The first issue is this conflict of law and grace, and let me explain what that is. For most part, some of us, we come to God, and when we think about God, we think of what am I doing wrong and what am I doing right. That the way we think about it is, what should I do? And so we just stick with what needs to be done. Well, the problem with that is over time, if you hear anything grace, you're like, wait a minute, that's almost like, am I supposed to stop what I'm doing? Or if I buy into grace, that means I do not need to be doing any other thing. And for some of us, we are prone to the other side of grace, which is unmerited favor. And we may understand it pretty well. For some of us, what does that even mean? What's unmerited favor? That God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. That He let His Son die on the cross to build a relationship with us that we could not restore back after Adam and Eve had sinned. Does that make sense? So He let His Son die on the cross to reach out to us. But most people hear grace and all they hear is that I have to do nothing. I have to do nothing. That's what I describe as the conflict of grace and the law. The law meaning the Old Testament and how it taught, you know, an eye for an eye and all that stuff. In today's terminology, it would be, am I performing? Am I good enough in the eyes of God? And if I'm not good enough in the eyes of God, then I don't understand grace because then I'm busy trying to prove myself to God. I say, I am good enough. I am good enough. And each time things go wrong, I'm not repenting. I'm feeling shame and guilt. I'm being held down because of that shame and guilt. So then the law plays pretty strong in my world. But if I'm walking with grace, I'm able to understand that the grace of God allows me to repent and establish my relationship with God and continue doing that well. Amen? So that conflict is what plays in most Christians. Some Christians are very prone to say, okay, I'm just performing and that's all I have to do. Others are very grace-oriented, but they're not going anywhere either. And that conflict then makes us feel like, I don't know what to do. I hope today you can get clarity on these two issues. Grace is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Romans says He died for people that were still in sin. We come to God not to earn salvation, but because now our relationship has been restored, we're coming back to God. We're coming back to God, and so we're obeying God's will, not to earn salvation, but out of gratitude. Amen? So here in Galatians 5:1-6, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Free from shame and guilt to get back. If you want to understand that freedom, is you remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What did they do? When God was looking for them, they were hiding. They were naked. They had lost that grace totally. They had no relationship. They were hiding. So now, because Jesus died on the cross, that we don't need to hide again. We need to come out to the light and have a relationship with God. No more hiding. No more putting up leaves and saying, I'm hiding. Who told you you're hiding? Did you eat the fruit from the tree? And that was a conversation. So we have been set free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. That is what he's talking about. And because the conflict in the church was we had people that were coming from a Judaized position fighting over, you need to be doing these things that Judaists do. And there were people that came from the Gentile position that didn't value that. And so mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value for you at all. If you think that you can become a Christian by just performing, then Christ died for nothing.
Come on.
That does not mean you should not read your Bible. That does not mean you should not pray. That does not mean you don't, I hope you don't forget to pray, to fast on Friday. Amen? Amen. Amen,
amen. Amen.
I got some people on me with that one. Some people are wondering, what is he talking about? I'll explain to you later. But we got to, it doesn't mean that we don't do those things, but we do it from understanding of the grace of God. Very different place. One place you are accepted because you're a child of God. Another place you have to perform to be accepted. How different that is. So if that conflict is not done properly, we end up having conflict in our hearts, in our minds, and we don't have a good relationship with God. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that is why our hearts can have trouble, because they're not figuring out, how does God love me? So we're always trying to perform. We perform for a year, we get tired, or for a month, we get tired, we give up. Then we go to this grace space and we're just doing lousy and we're like, but surely that cannot be right. Then we come back to performance. That conflict needs to stop so that we come to both. We need both. The grace of God and we need to obey the word of God. Does that make sense? Then we get it right. Now, when you understand that, then your heart is free to do it because you understand you're loved by the grace of God. And so you're able to be to deal with what's going on in your heart. Performance has no room for grace. Let me expound on that a little bit. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself to be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. Because the people from the Judaism were trying to tell the Gentiles, you all have to get circumcised like us. Follow the Old Testament. That's part of what we're doing right now. And he says, if you do that, Paul says, then you have to keep the whole law. If you fail in one, you fail in everything. Then he says, you are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ, and have fallen away from grace. I know it's not there, but that's basically what's going to happen. The challenge of performing, at some point as a Christian, if you're just checking your list and say, I've prayed, I've read my Bible, I've reached out to people, I've been good to the neighbors, at some point you come to a peak, it feels flat and empty.
Yes.
You've done a lot, but you feel empty. I've been there where I'm just feeling empty and I've done a lot. And you wonder, why am I feeling empty? I'm going to church, I'm praying, I'm doing all these things, but I feel empty. Because there's no relationship. You're performing. You've been performing and you've come to the peak. Just like a boxer who's performing. At some point before he gets into the ring, we say, you know, you got to let him rest for a while. I'm sure he understands this business. That let him rest for a while because we don't want him to peak before he gets into the game. We want him to be peaking in the game. That's when we want that to happen. But this is not a game. This is not a boxing match. This is a spiritual journey. So if you perform at some point, you come to a peak and you cannot go beyond that. That's when you begin to doubt your faith and you wonder, is something wrong with me? No, you've forgotten that which calls you a son or daughter of God. So you don't know how to be accepted, just to be accepted. That is what's broken in the system. We don't have an acceptance relationship with God. We have to perform to feel good with God. That's a tough place to be. Let me ask this question. How many of you have had a friend that loves you for just being you? You don't have to pretend. Okay, God is a million times that. God is a million or a trillion times that. I'm just trying to put humanistic way. Is a trillion times that. If you can figure that with God, then you can really have a relationship with God. But because we're so stuck in the performance mode, there's no room for grace. And so, instead of repenting, we beat ourselves down. Instead of changing and growing, we shame ourselves. Instead of being different, we feel like we don't deserve it. We've never deserved it. We are loved by God by the grace of God. Does that make sense? So performance has no room for grace. That is what makes it hard to love God with your heart. So you may understand a lot of things, but your heart is not coming into play because you've never figured out grace and performance. Grace and performance. So you get stuck in this world and you're either performing and I'm doing well because I'm doing all these things. And so it's always your standard. It's never been God's standard. You've got to stop measuring it with your standards and come to God's standard. It's way higher. Amen? Love is the key driver of our faith. For through the Spirit we eagerly wait, await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. How can you express your faith through love? That's the question. How can you express your faith through love? That's the question. Obedience? Yes, Barry. There we go. There we go. Anybody else? Yes.
I think obviously just giving your heart to God wholeheartedly, not holding back.
Or holding back.
Because I think you could obey, but in that essence, that's not your heart. But when you give your whole heart to God, it's like you surrender, you know, and it's willfully to do it. Not you don't feel like, oh, I got to do it. You feel like you want to do it.
Yeah, you want to do it, not I got to do it, I have to. You really want to give it, do it because you understand what that is all about. Yes.
Yes, I was going to share that expressing your faith through love is loving in spite of the result.
Loving in spite of the result. Wow.
In spite of what you get.
Because we are so socialized to press a button and to see it. Mm-hmm. Now you're loving and you're not seeing it. Why should I keep loving? So you can give up pretty easy. What else? Yes?
I think it's also loving unconditionally.
Loving unconditionally. That's a hard one. And yet God has done that for us. If we can just figure that out, that would be amazing, that loving it conditionally. I mean, think about that, loving it conditionally. That is a big one because it reveals a lot in your heart. As you love people unconditionally, a lot comes out of your heart. You're not getting back anything. I'm like, man, why am I doing this? Is it for God? Is it for me? And some people are nasty. I'm sure you had some of those people today in the office. But the Bible calls you to love them unconditionally tomorrow. How about that? To show up and smile and say, how you doing? Some of you are laughing because you know where we're going with this. So, love is the driver of our faith. God is love. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
So if you don't have love, it's hard to show faith. Love does not keep records of wrong. Love does not boast, rude. What I'm quoting is 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love never fails. That's a big one. What do you mean never fails? I'm already failing. It says that. It drives our faith. The biggest issue with our heart is that we've never made that journey of unconditional love. I mean, let's face it, unconditional love. That's a hard thing for many of us to do. To just love people for who they are, even when they're crazy. And so we're going to love them anyway. And show them God. And show them God. It's very important we get this one down. And when you think about it, love does not work if you are resentful, if you are angry. There's stuff that contaminates your heart very hard. If you're not letting go, if you're not seeing God and you're just seeing how all these things are clouding you, you will not love people. And let's face it, stuff can happen to you that makes it very hard for you to love. You know, you're just like, wait a minute. My wife challenges me a lot. We'll meet people, she'll talk to them, our neighbors, she'll really reach out to them, talk to them. And meanwhile, I'm doing the same thing, but I'm thinking, who am I really getting to know here? What's going on for a moment? But she loves people deeply. And you see how people respond so differently. I have to say, wow, look at how that different, how people change over that conversation. I've made friends over how she was reaching out to the people in the neighborhood and eventually make friends with her husband and say, yeah, how you doing? But initially, it was, I'm not sure how he thinks, how he feels. Unconditional love doesn't wait for the other person to come out. You have to initiate. and love them anyway, even when you know they're not being what they need to be. That is a hard thing, because we are taught to, if they don't move, why should I move? They're going to walk all over me. Oh, what happened to God? Now it's about you? I thought it's about God. Now it's just become, he's going to walk all over me. No, it's about God. God is bigger than all this stuff. Does that make sense? So that's why I said, through the Spirit, we eagerly await the faith of righteousness, which what we hope for. And then said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. Not the things they valued, the, how the Lord had taught them. But I was saying, you know what? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So I have another question. Are you expressing your faith at work through love? Are you expressing your faith at home? Are you expressing your faith in the neighborhood? Do you invite people to your home and have a meal with them and tell them about how God has turned you around? Are you expressing your faith with people? Just talking, not boasting, just expressing your faith and how God has been good to you. It's very easy to think that as a Christian person, you have a hard life. No, 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 your life is easy. Believe me, talk to people who've never known about God. Their life is very difficult. And so it's important to express your faith, and that is your heart. You're expressing your heart in Christ. If that's not being done, something is damaging your heart, and you're not really expressing yourself in God. And for many of us, we don't express a lot about what God has done for us. We just keep quiet. We need to get in that habit to tell our neighbors and our friends about what God has done for us. Amen? What is your predisposition? Well, don't worry about the end over there. What's your predisposition? Let me read here. It says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That at some point, you enjoyed the grace of God, and you obeyed God, and you're having such a good time. But someone cut, says, who cut on you and keep you from obeying the truth? That at some point, you just stopped obeying God. Because if you love God, you're going to obey him. But at some point, you just stopped. And it says, a little yeast walks through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no view. You will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for this agitator, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Paul is trying to bring about the idea that, listen, because I talk about Jesus, I'm being persecuted because I'm not teaching as a Jew should be teaching, as the law should be teaching. I'm teaching about Jesus Christ and the cross, so they're coming to me and attacking me. And I think that this can apply to us, that we start off with understanding grace. We start off with just falling in love with God. If you remember your conversion stories, for many of us, if you're a disciple, you really fell in love because of the grace of God and how he renewed your soul. Down the road, after a year or two, you started performing. Because the adrenaline wasn't popping like the first time. You said, I can manufacture adrenaline by performance. And then you got some high heat in your brain and dopamine was going and you're feeling nice for a while. And then you dried out after maybe another 1 year and you said, what's wrong? And you try to do that again and again, but over time you wane out. You just cannot do it because it's not of God. It has to come from God. And so what is your predisposition? When I ask that question, it's maybe you are a low person. In other words, you like to perform, but you don't understand grace. You need grace as well. There's the place for obeying, but we got to have grace. And for some of us, we deeply like to talk about the grace of God all the time. But we don't obey at all of what God is calling us to do. We got to have both. You cannot have one. Our hearts go out of balance and out of work and get hot so much when we don't understand the grace and truth of God and how it works together. Does that make sense? So this was going on in this church, and Galatians were being told, wait a minute, you guys running all over the place. Who cut you through? You started so well. Why am I being persecuted for talking about Christ? If it's all about performance and Jesus Christ died for nothing, because then we can save ourselves. It never works like that. We need Jesus. You see, I can never pay back. I can never prove to my dad that I'm his son. He knows that already. I know he's dead, but he knows. I don't need to prove that. He knows I'm his son. Literally, God knows you're his son. He's not asking you to prove. He's asking you to love him and walk with him and let him guide you. Does that make sense? So what we all have predisposition. Some of us like to perform. It's not a sin, but you got to be aware so that you make that change. Some of us like grace, but we got to be aware so we can come back and just obey what the Bible says. Does that make sense? And then that way we can deal with things and be transformed and changed. So that is why I asked that question of predisposition. How many of us prefer the law? The law. How many of us prefer grace? How many of us prefer both? Ding, ding, ding. The early question was not a trick. It was just to show you your predisposition, that you may come across one way very much. Remember, the Bible talks about both. And so both works, but we all tend to come from a different angle depending on how life has touched you. And you need to be aware that that is what is killing your heart, because you're not embracing grace and truth. You're doing one thing too much. Right. So misuse of grace makes us directionless. Let's just go. Let's read Galatians 5, 13 to 18. You, my brothers and sisters, who are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. This is what happens if you just get in grace world and don't obey God, you can have directionless living. So he's telling them, no, don't use your freedom of grace to indulge in sin. Don't do that. That's what he's saying. Humbly serve one another. When we do is the grace of God, but we're not changing, we become direction. There's no direction in our lives. In other words, let me put it this way. If all you do is talk about grace, is having a body without the skeleton. The truth is the skeleton. The grace is the flesh that holds it together. So if all you did was grace, there's no skeleton, gravity will take over. Make sense? You need both. You can't just do one. For the entire law is fulfilled by keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if your heart is not in love with God, it's hard to tell another person about God. I mean, let me ask you, when is the last time you sat down with someone and told them about Jesus? And that is not a guilt question, because now you understand grace and truth now. That is a truth question. That is not a guilt question. If you go into guilt and shame, you haven't understood grace and truth yet. You are going the wrong direction. That's a truth question of, when is the last time you sat down and said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus? That is not a guilt question. If you're feeling guilty, you haven't understood yet. You're still being hit with truth alone. You haven't understood the grace of God. That is a truth question. When is the last time you had someone come to your house for dinner? That's the truth question. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to Word of God, apostles' teaching, right? They were in each other's homes. That is Acts chapter 2. That is not a question of guilting. That's a question of, hey, when is the last time you did that? These are truth questions that begin to ask you, where am I at and how am I doing in these areas? So he says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That walk by Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Romans talks about if your mind is set on the Spirit, you'll be led by the Spirit. Ephesians explains that by saying that the word of God is the sword, is the sword of the Spirit. In Galatians at the very end, it says there's no formula to this, but it's walking in step with the Spirit. So clearly you cannot have a formula. You don't have one charm fixes it all. You have to hear God's will. Remember, we say that this week we need to ask every day, what is God's will? And to hear God's will. I don't know if you have any stories about God's will this week. I had a few, amen? I'll tell you some. But let me finish this and I'll tell you something about God's will. So you need to pay attention to that. Otherwise, you will not hear, so you will destroy each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Just that will take care of you. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So you have to be led by the Spirit. Hear God's word. Pray about it and say, God, lead me today. Amazing things happened. I mean, Tuesday, I think I overbooked myself a little bit. And I was getting into this struggle of how will I survive today? And I was praying, God, show me what will happen. And lo and behold, my brother called me and canceled one appointment. I said, amen, that's a good idea. Here we go. God has made that very clear to me. I said, okay, we'll see on Thursday. I'm on another appointment. It worked out beautifully. You can say that's an accident. No, that's the Holy Spirit working. Amen. The last time I read the Bible says God is sovereign. He's sovereign about everything. So everything that happens in my life is ordering the steps. That was not an accident. God worked it out. I was, wait a minute. How is it going to work out? I was feeling the pressure there. And I said, God, I need help. Worked it out pretty quick. It happens. In other words, if you pay attention, you will be where God wants you to be. And not have all this conflict of, am I doing the best thing? By giving my heart to God, is that the best thing? Am I wasting my time? You're not. You have to give yourself to God. But you have to submit that God's will is the best thing, not your ideas. Your ideas are good, but they're not rubber stamped. God will decide that. Put the ideas out, but let God decide that. He says, well, that's not the best idea. Eventually figures what way to go. So if you're having directionless life, most likely is that you are stuck in a grace place but not hearing God's truth and says, well, here's what you need to do. Does that make sense? That's important for us to understand. That is healthy. It's healthy for you to be directed by God. Let me say this, though. It's not a feeling. It's really submitting your day to God. Right. It's submitting yourself to God. Say, God, use me today. I want to do great things for you today. I like to put it this way. It's like being on traffic. Like, okay, I left the house, a brother's house. I said, I want to be home. I was talking to my daughter, saying, I'll be home 6:15. She says, Dad, it's 6:15 right now. I said, oh, no, I meant 7:15. That's what I'm aiming to be home at. Then I got on the road and I said, okay, let's see what happens. I get on 85 and it's looking nice. There's nothing there. And I get off 85 and it's held up. Nothing is moving. There's an accident. And I'm like, the people are coming to my house and I'm not there yet. What's going to happen? And just in time, the road opened and I got home 7:25. And I say, God ordered me to be here at 7:25. Now, here's the deal. The question is, how did I endure that time? Was I anxious, angry, talking to cars, or was I calm and coming along? That is the question. That is the question. The question is not that I got home. It's how did I get home? What was my temperament? Was I in a spirit-led mood? Was I in anger mood? Was I just talking to people, to myself, hooting? What was really going on? I was tempted to have anxiety, but I calmed down. And I just took it easy. And I said, you know, whatever has happened, I tried to change lanes. And I said, you know what? Let me just stick with this one lane. And I stuck with that one lane. And by the grace of God, it was moving. And I got home pretty calm. My temperature was in a good place. And I say to you that the issue is not that what you're going through is so difficult. It's that you've not given it to God. So you're very stressed out. And meanwhile, you're looking for the day it will not happen. No, give it to God. Who cut you through when he was right? Get back to this thing. Don't misuse grace. Let grace give you the peace you need in life. He loves you. Not because you performed better today. He loves you even when you didn't do it. But because you understand that, then you can do better. Does that make sense? It's an amazing place to know that. God loves you. But because you know that, it's not a performance thing you keep up. You have to keep growing and doing the right things. That is the question. How are you living your life? Is your heart given to God, or are you busy, angry, or confused and unsure of what's going on? Sin enslaves us. The acts of sinful flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealous, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we're not in walking with the Spirit of God and we're not giving our hearts to God, sin comes in. And one of the sins that hits pretty quick is adultery. Adultery can hit your life very easy. You have things that control your life. Anything that controls your life is an idol. From yourself, you can be yourself your own idol. That can just take over. We have so many idols that we don't submit. We don't give our hearts to God because the idols are too strong. They've taken over. When they speak, we just submit to those idols. When God speaks, we say, well, the grace of God. I say, that is where we go wrong. We use the grace of God to keep ourselves in the same place. We don't use the grace of God to motivate us to move forward. So, idols are big. I'm not sure about witchcraft, but some of us believe way too much of the... Well, I hear some of us saying, you know, I'm Osiris, I'm this, I'm like, well, God is bigger than all this stuff you put out there, man. Amen. You know? He's bigger than that stuff. And what about hatred? Is that going on in your heart? Come on. Yeah, some of us hate people. Come on. We just hate people. They remind us of things we don't like. I don't know why, but we just hate them. Remember this, if you hate people, you are the cup that is holding the acid. So remember who is getting burned. Is it the guy you hate or you?
Yep. Okay.
You're holding the acid of hatred. Who is getting burned? The guy you hate or you? The spirit dies out of that. You got to let go of hatred. Discord. Sometimes, some of us like conflict. Let's create conflict. That's not healthy. That's not healthy. That reminds me of the days when I played soccer. I liked conflict. When there was conflict, I said, okay, we're ready to go, man. This is good. This is good. Something's going to happen. Let's see what happens. It's a very mad place to live. Headbutting each other, boxing each other. What kind of living is that? We can do that, spiritually sometimes. Jealous. God has blessed you. Why would you be jealous of another person? I like to say there's enough oxygen for everyone. There's no need for you to compete. There's enough oxygen for everyone. There is something for you in the universe that God has. There's no need to compete. There's enough oxygen for everyone. Fits of rage. How's that going? You could be having a nice breezy day and something happens. This stuff enslaves us. There's something in your life that just enslaves you. Think about it. Selfish ambition, dissension. Ambition is good, but it doesn't need to be selfish. It needs to be of God as well. Let God guide you in that ambition. Does that make sense? Dissension, factions, and envy. Don't be envious. God loves you and He has a plan for you as well. And I left those other ones up. Impurity is a big thing as well. Sexual immorality is a big thing. These things can enslave us. The Bible says, and I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how is it that we can come to a place where we get so comfortable with sin and we know that we will not go to the kingdom of God? At some point, then your heart has left God. Even though you sit in the body of Christ, your heart has left. Yes. So sin just keeps piling and piling and piling, and you're not dealing with it because after a while you get used to the bad smell. Have you been to a house that has a bad smell? After a while, you're used to it. Then visitors come and say, wait a minute, is your house fresh? You say, what do you mean? My house is okay. Well, no, there's something smelling in the house. What are you talking about? Sometimes it's my car. My family comes to my car and says, Dad, is your car okay? I say, it seems fine to me. So, oh, there's something you forgot over there. You got to remove that stuff. You get used to it. Funky smell. Sin has the capacity to make us so comfortable in sin and forget the grace of God and value more how people see us, and we are afraid that if people know who I am, they'll not love me. Oh no, that is an old story of the devil. That's an old story. He's looking for you to love you. Come out and talk about what's going on. Let's finish here. It takes a relationship to not performance. Let me explain that. If you don't have a relationship with God first, and don't worry, this for some reason my letters have all gone down here. I think their editing office has gone down somewhere. But don't worry about it. It takes a relationship, not performance. Let me explain. If you don't have a relationship with God first, you will not do well spiritually. If you try to perform with God, it will not work. You need a relationship with God first. You need a relationship with God first. Then, from that relationship, you will obey God. I need a relationship with my wife first. Before we had to develop a relationship first before we committed to be husband and wife. We didn't just say, okay, I'm going to perform as a husband. Let's see how that works. Then we might get married. It doesn't work like that. It's not the, what's that program they run on TLC? 90 Days Fiancé. It's not that kind of stuff. That's a very weird place. I don't know how you can do that. I'm like, why would you do that? That's just too much risk for the rest of your life. It's not that stuff. It's relationship first. Then you can start a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God, that's where it's falling down. You're trying to perform. And your heart will not come to the table if you're performing. A relationship develops the heart to come to the table. Now you can start to do what you need to do. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. You cannot perform with these things. You cannot perform kindness. Can you? Can you perform kindness? Can you perform joy? I mean, trying to perform joy for the week. I'm just going to be happy and perform joy. Let's see how that goes. Can you perform peace? Can you perform forbearance? Kindness. You can't perform these things. The Bible says they're very clear. There's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with their passion and desires. Since you live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, let us keep in step with the truth. Let us live as the Bible calls us to, because we have a relationship with God. Then it says, let us not become conceited. Because when you're performing, you feel better than other people. But when you have a relationship with God, you empathize. You have compassion for the lost, for the struggling. You reach out to them. You don't look down on them. You say, oh my goodness, how can I love and be a part of the healing that God wants to bring in somebody's life? You don't talk to them like they're useless. You say, it's by the grace of God I'm able to do this. How can I be of help to you? Does that make sense? So as we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The climate of the church changes totally. There's no envy, competition. There is safety, there is care, there's help. People are authentic and we're all growing and more people are coming in. It's different. Why? Because we have the fruits of the Spirit. But that starts with a relationship with God, not performance. Now, I know, you came from offices that require performance. I understand that. If you don't perform in your office, you may lose your job. I understand that. But when you come to the house of God, God loves you for not performing. So don't get confused. At work, you might have to perform some numbers, but don't bring it to the house of God. And if you can figure it out here, work will be much easier. Because you'll have the fuel to ride it. You can take it on way more when you have the love of God. But when you don't have the love of God, you get very insecure with numbers and stuff like that. When I asked the questions I was asking earlier, they can make you feel so guilty and shameful. Oh my goodness, I'm doing poorly spiritually. That is not what I said. I was saying, understand grace and love and truth. And I'm asking you truth questions so that you can start saying, how much am I doing of truth as well? Does that make sense? Yep. So I like to end by saying it takes relationships. To that end, you also need other people in your life. Church, hear me out. Bible has many scriptures that talks about one another relationships. We are split in family groups. I really want to put to your heart, find someone in your family group that you get together regularly for the one another relationships. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know why some of you go so quiet when I talk about these things. I'm just talking about, I'm talking about what the Bible teaches. And I want to be as gentle a shepherd that is gingerly, but it has to speak the truth. You need to find friends that you can have relationships like that, that you talk through stuff. Because when you're enclosed, you're going to die spiritually. The physicists will call that entropy. If you don't get any new energy into your marriage, into your life, you die spiritually. But you got to find safe people that can help you. And we'll talk about that some more on Sunday. So I ask you, you got to build a community in your family group and really make that function for you. And if you're not safe, please start working on being safe. Because some people, you're not safe. When people come, you just tell them, you bring out the low and they're like, oh my goodness, I feel so judged and put down. No, we got to have a better conversation with that stuff.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So some of us have a lot of work to do in being safe. That there's work to be done there. Does that make sense?
Yep.
We'll talk about the soul and that will come through. My prayer this evening is that you've understood what may be getting in the way of your heart. And you giving yourself 100%. It's a journey we must begin today. As you fast on Friday, put these things before God. And then find a person you can start talking through things and praying about. Study out. Start growing again spiritually. Amazing things happen. Pray for people that God wants to put in your life. Pray for these things. And hear God. Don't pray and then decide. Pray and let God help you decide. God bless you.